This is Dave Gloetz. Welcome to another in a series of my interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on politics and government for the Chicago Reader and who's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, David.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Chicago Reader on June 9th, 2011, and it's titled, "As Mayor Daley Cashes In, Ousted Teacher Gets Cut Off." In this article, you tell the story of a fired or laid off Chicago public school teacher named Anthony Skokna and his experience being laid off and trying to find another job after his school was designated as a turnaround school by Chicago Public Schools. And you juxtapose this with former Mayor Daley's recent apparent windfall in getting getting jobs and
apparent
evidence. We say evidence?
Yeah, I don't
windfall
know.
In getting jobs and other gigs now that he's no longer the mayor. First, let's talk about Mr. Skokna. You probably get contacted by lots of teachers, I imagine.
Yes, all the time.
Is there any particular reason you chose him to tell this story?
Well, he's illustrative of a teacher at what they call a turnaround school. And there's many different ways that teachers, when they supposedly have tenure protection, could lose their jobs. A turnaround school is one particular way, and that's when the Board of Education, the central office, the superintendent, or CEO as they call them now, determines that a school is doing so poorly that you essentially have to fire the entire staff and hire a new one, starting, you know, principals, teachers, et cetera, et cetera. I think the entire school, including cafeteria workers as well.
But they let teachers reapply.
Everybody gets to reapply for their job. So the idea is they're supposedly given a chance to prove that the poor performance of the school is not their fault, and that they could be part of a successful transformation of the school. So I'm not just telling the tale of this one teacher's woe, as woeful as it is. I'm also explaining to readers what happens in these so-called turnaround schools.
And one of the things that you illustrate is the, sort of the reapplication process, where Skokna describes that essentially, after he reapplied, his so-called interview was being put in a several-hour workshop with six other teachers. And, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Is it at all representative of what other teachers who reapply in turnaround schools have to go through?
Well, I've not investigated at this length at all turnaround schools, but from what I've heard, it's pretty much this case. There is no personal interview with the teacher. They did not observe him in his classroom so they could see, you know, how he interacts with the kids. And they didn't take into consideration his years of performance. Merely what they did was they brought him into a room filled with, I think there was 10 teachers total, not just from Marshall, but from other schools, and then asked sort of general questions, and they had this discussion about what they think should be done to schools that are performing poorly. And then after the end of that discussion, they were told, okay, well, you'll hear from us. And then he didn't even hear from them. He had to contact them to find out whether he was going to get his job back. As far as I can tell, there was no real attempt to determine if he could help the school. So even if you're not looking out for the interest of the teacher, which clearly they're not looking out of the interest of their employees, and you're just thinking of the interest of your students, there doesn't seem to be any attempt to find the best candidates for the turned around school. So from an educational policy standpoint, it doesn't seem to make any sense.
And it's interesting how in this case and other cases that I know you and I have looked at, teachers get laid off are replaced by lower paid teachers. So there's an evidentiary link between turnaround and, you know, saving money, but there's no proof of that.
Well, there's no proof that I've seen anyway, or maybe that you've seen in terms of like a memo, you know, a smoking gun memo from CEO to principal saying save money by getting rid of teachers who cost more and replacing them with teachers who cost less. But that certainly has been, what did you call it?
Evidentiary link.
Dang, man. You've been watching too many crime shows.
You know, I don't watch TV, but I do read about the Blago trial.
Okay. Well, there's that it's always...
it's entertainment.
Entertainment and educational.
Yeah.
So yes, in my humble opinion, I believe that most of these educational initiatives are about replacing more expensive teachers with less expensive teachers. And it'll continue to be this way because it's clear to me that definitely for the last 3 years or so, the central office has been determined to cut back on the amount of money it pays teachers and to cut back its deficit that way. like reducing its personnel expenses.
And meanwhile, we'll still look for that smoking gun.
Yes.
Another interesting thing that appears in your article, I'll read a quote from Mr. Skokna. He's talking about public schools, and he says, you really can't kick any kids out, so you're not really holding a lot over their heads. From which I infer that Skokna believes that this inability to kick kids out inhibits the teacher's ability to get urban kids to learn. And earlier in the article, you refer to this as less accountability.
The point he was making and I was making is addressing the whole notion of how do you get better performances, test results, if you will. That seems to be the only barometer that we use.
For better or for worse.
Usually worse. Out of a low-scoring school. And he was contrasting the control that a private school has. He used to work in a Catholic school. And he's not critical of the school. As he points out, he probably would have stayed for his career, but they just didn't pay enough money. And he had a growing family. And his point is that at a Catholic school, the administration reserves the right to dismiss troublemakers, get them out of the school. Expel them is the word I'm thinking of. And so in a public school or a traditional public school, as opposed to a charter, you don't have that right. And so it's a totally different dynamic. And you can't play the part of the hard cop who says it's my way or the highway, because you really don't have the highway. It's more of a compromise. Many teachers have told me this, and I know you talk to a lot of teachers as well. There's sort of a negotiation that goes on between teachers and students, because with few exceptions of students who are violent or, you know, break the law in an audacious way, teachers have to put up with a lot of bad behavior. And if they complain too much, in general, the response from the principal, the security guards, is, what, you can't control your classroom? I've heard this not just from Skokna, but from many teachers. You know, my point here is that if we're going to have some kind of real discussion about how to get these poor scoring schools to improve or to get kids to learn more or whatever, however you want to phrase it, we have to realize the limitations and the challenges that the teachers are facing. It's simply not enough to say, well, work harder, teacher.
I guess the thing that troubles me about this is something that's been implicit in some of your articles and that what you and I have talked about is that in charter schools have an unfair advantage over public schools in that they can get rid of the kids that they don't want, kids who are, quote, troublemakers, unquote, or kids who are low performing. And here it seems that you're holding up a guy as a victim, but who also is representing that, you know, I would almost prefer to have the ability to kick kids out.
The contradiction is this, and this is an issue that I guarantee you will never be openly discussed when it comes to public education. What is the role of public education? Is it there to serve all children, regardless of their behavior, regardless of their performance? Or is it there to have the highest possible test results or academic performance and thereby expelling all those who can't keep up? Essentially, we have two systems in our city and in our country. I study Chicago. There's probably more tiers than just two, but in essence, there's the kids who do well and the kids who don't do well. And what Skokna is asking us to address is the fact that if you want to meet the needs of kids who aren't doing well, you cannot just say, we're going to kick you out if you don't do well. Then you won't be meeting their needs. You'll just kick them out. Well, you'll have great test scores. I mean, if all schools in Chicago had the right to expel students who didn't perform well or who were disruptive, even if they were not violently disruptive, then I think you would see test scores go up. You would see great progress just in that measurable form. I don't know what we'd be doing for all the kids who were kicked out. I suppose that would be their problem. That's sort of the attitude that private schools have, which is, you know, we can only worry about the students who abide by our rules and regulations. We can't worry about the students who don't abide by them. So I'm entertaining them. Yes, you're correct. I'm putting this out there. I'm trying to get people to recognize that this is a very difficult, challenging problem. And it's not as simple as firing a bunch of teachers, you know what I'm saying, or turning around a school, proclaiming it a turned around school as though that something triumphant had occurred.
Yeah, it is complex, and I'm sure we'll be talking more about it.
Yes, sir.
That's all we've got time for. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to my interview with Ben Jarofsky. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for other interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.